You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Hair on the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. And oh, y'all, my smile is big today. My smile is big down to my soul today because my new friend, and not new as in I just met him right now, like a lot of my guests. No, no, no. We just did a little something together. Here, let me give a little rundown of who he is. He was in the Broadway shows Beautiful, the Carole King musical, The Color Purple Revival, and Ain't Too Proud. He also toured with Motown, The Color Purple, and Miss Saigon. If you go to his Instagram and you look at his link tree, you'll find that it's full of links on how you can help others. It's not even just, it's not like donating to him. No, it's links on how you can help other people in the business or other people who might be struggling. There's Broadway Cares, Artist Relief Fund, Music Cares, Grammy, COVID Relief on his page. But then he also has his very own that he started called Helping Hands. That says a lot about a person. If there's something to be said about him, he's selfless, he's kind, he's hilarious. Oh, and yeah, he'll sing your face off. Please help me, my friend and my favorite teen angel, Mr. Jay Daughtry.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. I'm excited. Those were a lot of great things you said.
There's a lot of great things you did. Seriously. How are you? Where are you in the world? How you doing?
I am really good. I am in New York in my apartment in Harlem. I was doing a reading this week of a new show coming to the public called The Harder They Come, which I'm really excited about. It'll be there in the winter. It's already been announced, so I'm pretty sure people know about it. But yeah,
really exciting. That's awesome. Wait, you just did the reading and then it will be up at the public this winter?
Yes.
The Harder They Come?
The Harder They Come. Susan Laurie Parks is the book writer. Sergio Trujillo, I mess his name up every time.
And you know him too. I know Sergio.
And Tony Tacone is the directors. And Edgar is the choreographer. So yeah, it's really exciting.
Sergio's the director and somebody else the choreographer.
Yeah, his assistant is now stepping up as the choreographer.
Wow.
Everybody just stepped up one.
Wait, is this what you were talking about when you came into the Cape? Because if y'all don't know, so Jay and I just did Grease the Musical in at the Cape Playhouse at Cape Cod. And y'all, Jay came in, you were like 3 weeks into rehearsal, and then you just came.
It was like, okay, you don't need me? All right, well.
He came in, you sang one song, and you steal the show. One scene, one song, and you came in, you said, okay, where we at? What we doing? And also, when is this done? Because I got something to do on the 20th.
That was pretty much, that was it. That's one of the things. And then there's something that starts next week. But so that's what I was talking about.
It's amazing. I'm like, sorry, my camera got a little ghetto for a second, and needed to just work. It's like you just fly in, do the thing, and then you get out. What?
You know, if I'm not, so I'm used to, before doing musical theater, I was a banker. And then before that, I worked at BET. And so
BET, like BET, like the one the TV, BET?
Black Entertainment Television.
Ooh.
Well, I shouldn't say I worked out. I was an intern there. I interned throughout college with a show called Joe Claire and the Mad Sports Show. But awesome. I think with that job, we traveled around so much that it got like ingrained in me to move around and not to sit in one spot. So whenever I'm in New York, I'm here to do a show or to audition or something. But when I'm sitting down for a long time, I get anxiety.
Mm.
I get like, I gotta go, something's not right. I need to go find a gig. I gotta, you know, something has to take me out of the state or out of the city.
Wow.
I have to, so that's why I move around so much, is because when I'm sitting still.
It makes you stir crazy.
Yeah, I'm anxious and I'm like, okay, what's happening here?
So that makes me wanna ask, do you enjoy Broadway better or tour better when you're—
Tour.
Wow.
The longest time I've been in a show on Broadway has been The Color Purple, and that was a year. But anything other than that is like 6 months or like 4 months. I'm gone.
Wow.
That kind of thing. So I prefer like being in a job that'll move me around a lot. I like being on a plane. I like being in a new city every Monday.
But you got your home base though. I'm over here trying to figure out, like, because that is a thing. I've heard of people enjoying tour more than sitting down somewhere, and they will go everywhere. And then when they need to go home, they'll go home, but then they rather be on the road.
Yeah. So, and here in New York, this apartment, I got it during the pandemic when we all had to sit down. But I'm using it. One of the rooms is a studio. The other room I use to like rent out to people who are here in New York for rehearsals when I'm not here. So this space is like an artist space. I'm making it that. I'm trying to make it that.
Wow. That's why you were like, we doing this in person, right? I'm like—
Yeah, I was like, oh, we can come to my studio.
Right. Shoot, I should have taken you up on it just so I could be like, okay, here's where it's at. Okay, right. I know how to get here. How do I let myself in, Jay?
Yes. Right. Everything is in here. Like the studio over there has mics, light, green screens, recording material. It's my neighbor, Artur, who's also a artist. It's his space, but you know, we both use it. And everything is in here. Everything that you need.
So you've got this entrepreneurial mind, it sounds like, and you don't sit still. You're always doing something. Where did the idea for help? Tell me in your words, what is Helping Hands and what sparked that, especially during a time when, what were you like? Were you able to do things? Like, did you need help or were you okay?
Yeah, I was okay because I was just coming off of Miss Saigon, and I was playing the role of John.
So you said we're blessed.
We're okay. And it had been we were going on 2 years, and that job was the highest paying that I had ever had.
Wow.
The producer Cameron McIntosh was very generous, very, very generous, and so 2 years of that. Like, I was okay. So Helping Hands, which is an organization that is intended to help those who are part of the Broadway community. So not just actors and dancers and singers, but also ushers and, you know, front of house people and stage managers and anyone who finds themselves in a financial need. Now, I created it because I'm also very community-based.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like...
that's what I'm sensing.
Yeah. And so, and just talking to my friends and talking to people from the community. And early on in the pandemic, I started to realize how this pandemic was really affecting people in a real way.
Yeah.
And we have you know, Actors Equity, and we have all these other organizations that are meant to help, but sometimes they can't help right away. You know, they have to go through a process, or they have to, you know, I wanted to create a way for those who support us by coming to the theater and wanted to support us in this situation. And by us, I mean those people that are in this community. Mm-hmm. I wanted to create a direct line where you give your donation. Your donation is passed directly to someone from the community who needs it right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it turned out to be a really good thing. I only intended to do it for the pandemic, like for that one time, but people started giving so much. And then we had some private donors, let's call them that.
Okay.
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 Joined in and were asking me who really needed, like who was facing eviction, whose lights were off, who couldn't eat. And they started paying people's rent.
What?
Collecting people, give me all of your bills for the month. I'm going to pay them off. They started.
Oh my God.
So it became a really big thing, and it just never stopped. And so we haven't had a full-fledged campaign as of late, but people are still giving, and we're still just passing along the love.
Jay, yeah. I've got chills all over my body.
It was crazy. Like, it was crazy. And especially when they started paying people's rent. That's... It was just like, wait, what? You want to pay what?
I said, wait, where can I send in my application?
Well, if anybody is watching and you do want to, submit, the email is helpinghands@gmail.com. helpinghandsbway@gmail.com. And you just send in a brief description of yourself, how you're connected with the Broadway community and what the situation is. And then someone from our team will reach out and
Jay,
get it going.
That is okay. So now that leads me to ask you, what was your upbringing growing up? I'm sorry, this is a very compound question, so you can start wherever you want. I want to know, like, how was your upbringing? Who were you surrounded by for that to be like so ingrained in you? And also, it sounds like you've got other dreams, other gifts inside, ingrained gifts. Like, yeah. Are you going to be an actor forever? Because that is okay. But also, it sounds like you've got some other things stirring in there.
So I like to say I've lived many lives. Growing up, I'm from a huge family. And in my community, they're influential. They're the people that everybody knows. Even if I go home now,
I see that
they won't call me by my name. They'll be like, oh, you're that Waring, but Waring is my family name.
Oh.
Oh, you're from the Warings, aren't you? I'm like, yeah.
Yes, brother.
So and we were very a part of the community. My grandfather, who passed away when he was 110 years old.
No, I don't believe you. He made those numbers up.
No. He was the first African American in Florida.
He was the first African American in Florida?
No.
Oh my goodness.
He was the first African American in Florida to own a taxi cab stand.
Oh.
So he owned a and it was in our community. So he owned a taxi cab stand, and my grandmother ran he also had a grocery store.
Oh.
So my grandma ran the grocery store and my grandfather drove the cabs. So the grocery store was like the only grocery store in our community. So everybody had to come there, which is how they knew my family. And being that my grandfather was the only African-American taxi cab driver.
They definitely know.
They knew him, you know what I mean? So that's how that started. And he was also very rich and very generous with money.
Wow.
Which I believe kind of like had that mind of like, I like to give money versus receive. I like to receive it.
I like to receive it.
But instead of hoarding it, I like to create like a circulation. Let's put it like that. And so all of my family is like that, like very generous, very kind when it comes to finances.
We're going to cut for a short ad break. Let's talk about an energy real quick. Mm-hmm. Like money is an energy thing. It sounds like Oprah. She's always giving stuff away. She got plenty and it's like she keeps getting more and she keeps giving more.
Because you have to create space for it. Because money doesn't like to just sit. Money is a vibration, an energy, a frequency. And like any frequency, it has to move. It's a currency. So it has to like revolve. It has to go in, flow. It has to move out. That's why, you know, when it comes to when we were just talking about anxiety, I think for me, one of the things about sitting still is that life for me is that same thing. It has to move. It has to keep moving. So when I'm sitting still and not doing anything, if I'm working, then I'm okay. But if I'm not doing anything, then I feel like my life flow isn't flowing.
Yeah.
So move it. There's a block. And I think that's with anything. You have to just create a currency, create a flow in, out, in, out. Don't let it just sit stagnant. That's when you start getting all these crazy emotions and crazy feelings. And you start feeling like you're not yourself because you're not. You're who you used to be.
Well,
you're supposed to be somebody else right now. Let me tell you something.
Reverend Daughtry.
Let me tell you something. Do I need to preach? Do I feel the preach coming on, Salisha?
Come on. Come on, Pastor. Take your time, Pastor.
Speaking of, that's another thing that I used to do. I was a licensed minister.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. I used to, back in college, those were my college years. So while I was interning at BT, I was also going to seminary to get my ministerial license. And what else have I done? After that, I went into banking. And then when the banks crashed, I taught school for a year in Maryland. And then—
Is that you on Rate My Professor?
No.
Oh, I was like, Jay was like a real freaking—
No.
It says Jay Daughtry, Rate My Professor.
What?
Yes. It might be you, honey.
Oh my gosh. I hope it's not.
They said they recommend taking your class.
They did? Mm-hmm. No, these were kids. Well, they're grown now, but they were kids.
Okay.
I was at an elementary school.
Okay. I don't think 5-year-olds are on Rate My Professor.
These kids, I don't know.
These days. I know they might.
They might.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. So I like to say I've had a lot of different experiences. Let's put it like that in life.
So did you answer the question of where do you see yourself in 20 years? Because I'm curious.
In 20 years, I see myself sitting at one of my mansions by the beach, looking at the sun and the water.
You said, I'm in retirement.
Right. I am. I'm retired or just trading on the market and just.
I was like trading Pokemon cards. What you trading?
Or if that comes back around. Yes.
No. You're so smart.
Yeah. So it's like. And, you know, if I do anything, theater or singing or anything, then it would be because I want to do it. You know what I mean? It'll be like a passion kind of thing, not necessarily because I feel like I have to. But yeah, I see myself very, very early on. I'll say 50, late 40s. I'm good. I am good. I have 4 or 5 houses. I have.
Okay.
Everything.
Can I ask you something that if you don't want to answer it, I'll edit it out.
Okay.
Do you have or want a family?
No. I don't have or want a family.
You said the answer is no across the board. Because I am like, Jay is a freaking catch.
You know, people say that, and I don't get it.
See, and that.
Somebody, when I was in Miss Saigon, a friend of mine, her name is Stacey Bono. She used to say that all the time, and I was like, okay.
Because I'm about to put an ad out for you right now if you wanted that. I'm like, Jay Daughtry on the market.
I'm okay.
Humanitarian, philanthropist.
I'm okay.
He said no. Nope.
I just don't. No. So
you're breaking hearts. You're breaking hearts across the globe, honey. Oh my gosh.
Nah, I'm very much so a loner in that way. Like, I would prefer to be alone.
I love that life for you.
Reason why, like, it fits. I mean, it tracks. I'm never in one space at one time. You know, that's kind of one of those people, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nah, that's not who you want to date.
But also, if you enjoy that, then there's no problem with it at all. And I saw you during Greece. Like, you always knew that you were welcome to hang out with everybody. And I also didn't hang out too much because I also am like, I also am a loner who just happened to like Andrew. Oh my goodness. We met and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm done being a loner. But before Andrew, I loved being alone. I don't like hanging out. And I got to watch you off on your own a lot, but enjoying it. And then when you're around everybody, you're so fun and so cool, but you're like, give me my book. Give me my corner of the grass. I'm good. Like, it does. It looks good on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy, like, hiking a lot alone. Everything. Like, I like solitude. I like being quiet and just thinking. I'm a Virgo. So, you know, that's one of the traits. We think a lot. And so, yeah, I love just being in spaces where I can do that.
When you are a part of an organization, any kind of community, or if you're in a show, what makes you feel seen?
What makes me feel seen?
I'm really asking from the lens of a Black man, but it can be from any lens. It can be from just a human lens, whatever.
From the lens of a Black man, what makes me feel seen? And I think this is what you mean by seen, is that I'm heard. You know what I mean? And that I am regarded as a person who is on the same level as everyone else. So I was in a show that I won't call his name.
Uh-oh.
But our HR person came in to give one of, you know how they teach us HR.
Yeah, well, HR is very recent in our community. We used to say, HR who? Where is HR? Here's my titties.
She came in to talk to us. And then she got them I was the only Black person. It was myself. No, at this point, I was the only African-American. So my father's Dominican. Let me just say
that. Okay.
But I identify as an African-American. So, because my mom is Black and I grew up around my mama's family, not my father's family. I know nothing about, you know, the Dominican culture. So I prefer to say that. Anyway, so I'm saying that because that plays into what I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
So we're talking and she's like, now I'm about to talk about racial bias. And she was like, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And that should have been the first sign that you're about to make somebody in this room feel uncomfortable. And me being the only African-American person in the room, I'm pretty sure it's me.
Uh-oh.
She's like, but you know, if I'm walking down the street as a white lady and I see a Black man walking towards me, doesn't matter what time it is, what time of day it is, night or day, I'm going to cross the street. And then she's like, but it's not that I'm making, not that I'm being racist. It's an unconscious bias. And so I was like, she started to see me like,
uh-oh.
She was like, but if I saw a white man walking down the street with me, towards me, I probably wouldn't.
No, is that making it better?
Any other, Right, right. She was like, if I saw any other race walking towards me, I probably would not cross the street. And she was like, it's just because of where I was raised, da-da-da-da, blase, blase. And I was like, ma'am, so you don't think that that is racist? And she was like, no, it's unconscious. I didn't think of it. I just did it. And I was like, no, you saw a Black person walking towards you, had a thought, took an action according to his race. Like, it was based on the race that you made your action, which was to switch the side of the street.
And told the story about it.
And then you just told everybody in this room that it's okay to treat me differently.
If it's unconscious.
If it's unconscious.
Wow.
He's like, that's not what I mean. And everybody in the room was like, yeah, well, that's what you said. Yeah, that's exactly what you just
That's what you said. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, you know, and it was what's crazy is that like this dark skin, no matter what you are, if your skin is darker, it gives you the right to treat me differently. You know what I mean? You're treating me differently from everybody in here based off of this skin tone. Nothing else. You have nothing else to go off of. And she's like, no, you know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's about me. It's about my thought process. And I was like, yeah. And your thought process is you're a racist.
Yep.
And I'm going to leave this meeting.
Oh, wow.
And I walked out. And then I wrote a letter and was like, she does not need to teach another anything for y'all's company.
But you couldn't write to HR if she was HR.
I wrote to her the manager of the company.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I went to my company manager and he was like, Jay, you know, I really don't think she meant it like that. And I was like, yeah, but you're a white man.
Yeah.
So you can't. And yeah. I'm not saying you're racist, but I am telling you that you cannot tell me, a Black man,
what feels
right.
Yes.
Anyway, so yeah, that's that. But being seen, back to being seen.
Oh.
It's stuff like that that makes me feel like I'm not seen or heard, yeah, or, you know, or treated differently. Now, I have been very fortunate in the cast. Like, that's the only issue that I've had that I can recall that I was like, that made me, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Other than that, I've been very fortunate, but I also have been in mostly Black shows. So the atmosphere has been
different. Like, if you got the support of literally 24 other people.
Right.
It's different.
It was me and me alone.
And what gave you the confidence? Have you always been a confident person?
Yeah, I'm very much so a say what I have to say kind of person, and we'll deal with the rest later. I say what I have to say and what? So I've never been too afraid to like speak my mind. I think I learned very early on that like I could get run over if I didn't speak my mind.
Wow.
But I also come from my family, it was okay to say what you felt, even if we didn't agree.
Mm. You know what
I mean? So I grew up in that. And I grew up in we may argue, but I still love you and we're gonna figure it out kind of thing. So saying what I have to say isn't a problem for me. Speaking up isn't a problem. Hasn't never been a problem for me.
We'll be right back right after the break. Do you feel in this earth that you are a man first or a Black person first?
I feel that I am. How do I feel, Jamaris?
I had to ask myself too. I'm like, wait a minute.
I feel that I am they're together. I don't know how else, I don't know how to be a man without being a Black man.
Mm.
That makes sense?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like I don't think I can put one before the other, because my Blackness is just as important as my manness to me. You know what I mean? So they're right on the same level. Is that, can that be my answer?
I think it can. I think okay. It can be.
Yeah, you know, because that experience is so unique and it's the only experience I've had in this lifetime. So I don't think I can separate them. And I don't think I want to separate them. Like, sometimes I look at my culture, our culture, and like who we are as a people. And I'm like, I don't want to be anything else in this
Jay,
lifetime.
Jay, do you know how many times I look at Black people and I'm like, I love Black people.
I just love. And anyway,
have you seen that Instagram page, Embracing Black Culture?
Mm-mm.
It is so funny. And even my Andrew, my white fiance, he'd be looking at that page too. We'd be laughing together. I'm like, okay, so this is what this means. And it is so funny. It really is. I wouldn't want to be anything else in this lifetime. And obviously there's the trials and the tribulations, but it is so fun.
Yeah. And are you like spiritual?
Yes. Like, yes. Spiritual? Yes.
Well, the more I learn and like read and dive into history and like just spirituality and see how like we Black people are the original people, like how we have this thing in us, this power in us, this essence about us. And like, it makes me want to like explore that more or present that more or dive deeper in that or like sit out in the sun and get my body energized and just
come on.
Get it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a deep thing. It's very deep. So yeah, I don't want to be, I think that my manhood and Blackness are one in the same. And I value them each the same.
I wonder, somebody was just saying this to me literally yesterday, and I don't think it's a coincidence. And I think about how like in ancient times, like pharaohs and queens, like a lot of them were Black. A lot of them. And then what happened? We got into this mindset of slavery and that we're less than, and that all of these things, that our hair is nappy, that all of these things that are negative, but it feels like a trick. Like, wait a minute, that is not what, we're very powerful. And we've got these curves and these high cheekbones, and our hair is versatile. We can do so many. My hair is an afro today. It could be straight tomorrow if I wanted it to be. I can braid it up and it will stay without me putting a clip on the end. Like, we are beautiful and strong. And I love that you're like, I kind of want to just sit in the sun and soak up the energy. And
But you know what's crazy is like, I'm starting to realize that our generation, I'm going to put you in my generation.
I am. I feel that too.
Okay. But I feel like there's a returning to that though. There's like a conscious kind of return to what once was or who we once was. You know, we regard ourselves differently. We're returning. Like, I hike a lot. I think I told you. And I've never seen so many Black people hiking before in my life.
That's hilarious.
It's like I'm walking down the thing, down the trail, and I'm like, hey, what's up, brother? Yeah, so even just returning to nature, and like, and even if you look on Instagram or social media, you'll see like
Black men hiking. Please tell me that's a page. Yeah,
well, they have I think it's called Black Men Outdoors.
You'll see
them like doing all kinds of, but even just to see people taking care of plants in their homes grounding outside, doing yoga outside or anything, just seeing this culture return back to things like that is really interesting to me. It's really interesting.
Oh, I'm here for it. Jay, I have so much love for you. I'm so glad that we got to meet during Greece. You sang my face off. We got a little video footage of it so that we can never forget. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You're so talented. You're so warm. You're so cool. And we were next door neighbors. It was like,
see, never knew. Never knew.
I know.
Oh, you mean in Cape Cod?
In Cape Cod.
Yes, we were. We were. I thought you meant here. I was like,
yeah, I mean, I did live in Harlem for a little bit. I'm uptown now.
Oh, okay. Further up. Okay.
Yeah. Just like an.
Yeah. I'm glad I met you too. It was a great experience. That show, I had a good time. I don't see.
I feel like we've got some good, memories logged.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a good experience. They actually just called me to come back.
Four. Grease is over. Are people still doing it? I'm not in it anymore.
No, it's another show. It's a. I'll send you a text, but I had to turn it down. But yeah.
Oh, see.
It starts like next month.
You stay working. You stay booked.
You know, I don't know what happened after Ain't Too Proud closed. It was just like thing after thing after thing after thing.
God said, "I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna bless my son."
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I love you, and I love your heart. I love your spirit and your soul. Yes. Jay Daughtry, where can people find you? Where can people follow you?
I am mostly on Instagram at Jay Daughtry. J.Daughtry is my handle. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
And before I let you go, what are you grateful for today / looking forward to?
Today, I am grateful for you, Salisha. I'm grateful for you.
We're friends.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to being in California next week. Yeah, I think that'll be great. That's going to be fun. I know it is. I'm singing with the 80-piece orchestra.
What?
The biggest I've ever sang with. Yeah.
Can I watch?
I think it might be streamed. I'll have to check and see. It's a Sonoma Valley 4th of July gala.
Oh.
And so it's going to be like fireworks. I'm going to be singing under the fireworks.
See. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I love that. I love that life for you. I also love you singing to me, and I'm not singing. I'm just sitting there looking at you, looking in your eyes as you belt my face off. And I'm like, if you forget the words, I'm going to laugh at you.
There were a couple of times.
But never like in performance. Like you kept, it wasn't, you always had it. Yeah, but rehearsals though, I was like,
rehearsals, like, what are the words?
What is the show? Where are we?
Right, I know I'm supposed to slide to the left, but
oh my god,
what exactly am I saying? No, that was fun. That was a fun experience.
Thank you for joining me today. You're the bomb.com.
Thank you for having me, Salisha.
Sorry, this is just a little bonus. We just turned the cameras off, and as soon as we do, I start asking about questions about things in the background. Jay, tell them what you told me.
So we were talking about this artwork here. These are photos from a friend of mine, Alejandro Garcia, who's a photographer.
Come on!
But then when I showed her that, I was like, well, let me show you my Stella Award in
How
gospel
dare
music.
You? Oh my gosh.
A Grammy in gospel music. And then I was like, wait. Let me show you.
For the virtual, for the audio, daughter. What is it? What did you just show me?
This is a gold album. I sing with a group called Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. And one of our albums went gold. And so that's what I'm holding up right now is a gold album. And then I was like, wait. I also have The Key to My City. And this is a proclamation for my, it's dusty, y'all, but it's a proclamation for my, I have a day.
What's the date? What's the date?
My hometown. It's called Jay Daughtry Day.
Oh,
January
my goodness.
The 7th. Sorry,
good
guys.
Thing it wasn't
it's January
the 6th.
The 7th. Woo!
In Jesus' name. That is, you found it? Oh,
yes. So
my. Is there any other goodies before I turn this camera back off?
No, I mean, No, this doesn't matter. I mean,
okay.
It's not a big thing.
I love you.
I don't even feel like getting up to get
blessed.
Here.
Just blessed. But, yeah. Just blessed.
Yeah, I love you too.
Reverend Daughtry, everyone. Signing up. And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.